morning. It's a cold. Pat had to put her horse in the barn and put a coat on him. But good to see everyone out this morning. We had a great time in Sunday school, and I think our youth started off with about the brokenness. And through Sunday school, we didn't get into our lesson. We talked a lot about brokenness and different things going on in our lives. And I'm glad we got a place we can come, a place of refuge we can come, and a place to lean on one another and be there for one another. And it's especially as a man, it's hard to admit there's times that we have to do that. We can't fix all the problems. And I told them the problem I have in my life, a lot of times I'll pray, and when I'm done praying, I immediately get up and try to start finding the way to fix the problem I just prayed about. And there's no use in praying if I'm going to try to fix it. God wants to do it, and he will do it. I think the reason we do it is because we're not patient. We want it to happen now. And that's how I've always been. Patience is not a virtue I have, and God has to show us that. And so good to see everyone out tonight. And today, yeah, it's so cold. I'm thinking it's tonight, I guess. But excited about our service this morning, our youth service. So proud of our youth. I know they do a great job and appreciate what they stand for in our community. And I ask that you pray for them. They face stuff that me and you didn't have to face when we was there, when we was their age. There's, of course, we had problems. We had things we had to deal with, too, but not to the magnitude they do today. There's stuff out there that never even encountered us at their age, so remember them. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we go into our service? Remember her.
Remember Grayson Oswald. I talked with Paul Friday night after the ball game, and she's been having a lot of really, really bad headaches to the point where she's wanting to come home because they're so extreme. They've been to tons of doctors, can't figure it out, so just keep her in prayer.
Amen. Anybody else? We have some going for tests and different things in our church, so remember them. Let's just earnestly pray for one another in our church. We each stand in need of it, and we each need the practice. So let's, I think we say it a lot of times. We put them on a prayer list and we do different things, but do we honestly ever pray for them? Cry out to God for them and ask that. And Ms. Kim mentioned this morning about getting someone on her heart to honestly pray for and to invite to church. And that's a great idea. That's what we should be doing, is having somebody. We done that one time when we was at Concord, and I told y'all the story before. I for some reason, I wanted to pick out the hardest one, and I did. And the whole time I was praying, I said, I don't know if I'll ever see this come to pass. This person's extremely stubborn and extremely hard-hearted, it seemed like, but God was able to get his attention and saved him. So he can touch anybody at any time. There's nobody out of God's reach. So let's remember that as we pray. Anything else? Nothing. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll start our song service. Father, we come to you again this morning thanking you for the opportunity to be in your house. God, I thank you for each one that's here this morning. God, I thank you for the desire they had to want to be in your house. Lord, I ask you to speak to them this morning, Lord. Touch something in their lives, whatever they're struggling with, Father, whatever may be wrong. Or Lord, just let them see what a gift you've given them of life. And God, what a gift of salvation you've offered to all men. God, I thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to be with all the ones that are hurting this morning, all the ones that are broken, all the ones that are struggling. Seems there's no hope. Father, I ask you to touch in a mighty way. Lord, our church asks you to touch it this morning. Father, our members, Father, there's many we have, Father, that's not with us this morning. Lord, we ask you to create a desire in their heart to return, and Lord, to really get involved in your work. God, I ask you to be with our singers this morning. Lord, touch them in a mighty way. Lord, let us have a song service that we'll be talking about all week. Lord, these blessings we ask in your name. Amen.
Let's stand and join us in our call to
God Almighty. life I hold so close. Oh God, I let it go. I refuse to gain the world and lose my soul. So take it all.
Closes in, Lord, still I will say. it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. For there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out.
Hey, I try to get out of it, okay, on Wednesday nights, and multiple times, and I get denied every time, so I'm just done asking. This morning, I want us to, if we can, take a journey through John chapter 14. We'll be in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31 this morning. This morning's sermon is It's not a Joel Osteen sermon, but I will give him my notes for a slight fee. Maybe it'll help us pay off our building. So if anybody in here is friends with him, just tag us on Facebook and share it with him. And so, but this morning's sermon, I know that a lot of times we get we come to church and we get convicting messages, and we should, and that's what this place is for. But this morning, I hope that through the sermon, I can offer you just a little bit of comfort this morning. And Jesus' words to his disciples in John chapter 14, 15 through 31. And we'll be in Colossians for one verse and in Philippians for another. But in the world today, we see a world that is caught up in turmoil. And nothing seems to go right. Nothing seems to, we don't seem to have the grasp of anything anymore. And yesterday, kind of full circle for me, because everything I touched seem to go wrong. If you can look at me this morning, I've got blue all over me. I've got it on my neck. I've got it in my hair. I've got it on my belt. But I went to the, I didn't make it to the grand opening of Stephanie's yesterday, but I made it a little bit later because I was laying in inside a vanity that's probably 2 foot by 2 foot vanity trying to fix water leak. When I got there, I shook Chad's hand and I was about to give Stephanie a high five, and she stopped about 3 inches in front of my hand because it looked like I had just performed surgery on a Smurf. Okay. I had it all over me, and I still do, and it's on my belt. So, but nothing seemed to went right yesterday. It seemed like everything I touched just seemed to be in shambles. Everything, just nothing seemed to go right. And funny story, this morning is, we kind of got a running joke with my in-laws, and every summer, it never fails, I'm good for at least one broken something, whether it's a broken table, whether it's a broken chair, whether a few years ago it's maybe a jet ski, you know, I mean something. I'm good for something that's broke. This summer, funny story, I had been sitting in this chair for weeks this summer. I mean, just go down to the dock and that's your chair. You know, I mean, that's where you go, where you sit down. And I blame it on my sister-in-law. But she got up and I sat down in the chair. And I had sat in the chair for weeks, like I said. And I just sat in it. And I noticed that I just kept getting closer and closer to the dock, you know, on the wood. And the chair just kind of mushroomed out at the bottom. But we fixed it. We got it bent back, and it's just the long walk up the dock, up the staircase there to my father-in-law, and said, and sit down, and you know, of course, I make up excuses. I start talking about, you know, this and that, and you have a good day, and my father-in-law is still very intimidating to me, and rightfully so. But you know, just kind of making things up as we go, and then get into, all right, here I can work it in right here, right? I can get it in right here. Chrissy Lee, my sister-in-law, she broke the chair. The dog. Really? No, I did. You know, so I'm good for my one this summer, so I'm out. But it seems like everything we kind of touch in this world doesn't go right, doesn't go our way. Even in our spiritual life, we tend to find ourselves, like we mentioned this morning, broken, obviously, but we find ourselves wrapped up in the turmoil of the world, and it seems like that nothing that we're doing spiritually is going right. Nothing that we're doing is working. And we get so bogged down in our journey that we forget where we started and we forget about where we're going. We're lost in the journey. And this morning, I want to take that journey through John chapter 14 through 15 through 31, because I love this story where Jesus is talking with his disciples. We see the turmoil that the disciples are going through previous. We see that that Jesus has flipped the disciples' worlds upside down in previous chapters. And we see that he recently told his disciples about him leaving, about his departure, and what it was going to be like in chapter 13, in verses 31 through 35. And then we get into chapter 13, and we see verse 36, where he begins to talk about Peter's denial. We all know that story about Peter's telling Jesus, oh, you know, I love you, I'll do all this stuff for you. And he says, Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. So disciples' chances are that Jesus probably took Peter aside to tell him this, but we don't know that. He may have been with the disciples when he told him that. So, but we still see turmoil and the disciples' world flipped upside down. Same way for us in 2017. We get into a rut where we feel like our world is beginning to cave in on itself, and we see no hope, and we see no comfort, and we see no glory awaiting us because we're so caught up in everything that's going on around us. And this morning, I want to offer you a little bit of comfort this morning of what Jesus tells his disciples next. And we'll pick up in verse 14, or excuse me, John chapter 14. And this speaks volumes to us, I think, if you'll allow me. This morning, if you'll stand with me while we read, if you'll stand with me this morning, we'll read John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you live. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know me that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered in verse 23. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Verse 28, you heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let's go from here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. God, thank you so much for an opportunity that we have as a church to come before you, Lord, to learn, to listen, God, and to worship. God, this morning I pray that you'll just remove me out of the way. Lord, let it not be my words, God, but it'll be you flowing from this pulpit this morning. God, I pray if there's anybody here, Lord, that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, that they'll leave this place different than the way they are right now. And God, that difference will be because you have entered into their heart. Lord, we pray and we ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, if I could title the sermon, it will be the five supernatural blessings. Five supernatural blessings. You can see kind of where I'm going with this. Joel Osteen may want to get some notes. But if you'll look here in, let me get to John chapter 14. This is high-tech stuff on the screen back there. But if you'll look with me here, at the beginning of what we were reading, it says that we see a supernatural helper. We see a supernatural helper. So our first supernatural blessing, our first supernatural comfort that we can receive from Christ is that we have a supernatural helper. The Greek word here, parakletos, means a summon advocate or helper. You see, when you read the verses here in beginning of verse 15, he says that in verse 16, he says, I ask the Father and he will give you another helper. The word helper here is a summoned advocate, someone that is there to help you, meaning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So this morning, even though our world is upside down and we're going through turmoil, we can know that we can seek comfort this morning because we've already won the battle, number one, and we have an advocate, a helper with us. Greek word here, parakletos. Now, all of us are fluent in Greek this morning because we know that one word. Our youth are fluent in Greek too this morning because we're able to say the word revelation, which is another Greek word in the Bible. But so there you go, guys. You got two of them right out the gate this morning. You didn't even know that. So, but now we can all speak Greek, okay? But another word for this helper this morning is the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, it says the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. So no matter where you're at in life, no matter where you're at in your walk with Christ, if you are a Christian this morning, you have the Spirit of truth. Amen. You have a supernatural helper this morning. You've got one more thing going for you than the lost do. Because you've got helper. You've got a supernatural helper. We get so caught up, though, in our world and like I mentioned, turmoil, and we're here and we're there, and Lord, why is why won't my friend come? Or I've invited them so many times, they won't be here. And we kind of get bogged down in that. And we forget that this whole time is that we've got a supernatural helper. And we can go out and share with them as much as we want to. And Chad's mentioned this before. And we'll see a scriptural verse here in a minute that proves that. But we can't do everything.
Amen.
We can get in front of them and we can live a life that reflects Christ. But in the end, what's going to draw them is this supernatural helper, is this advocate. In verse 16, I love this verse. It says that I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, and that he may be with you forever. You see, if you're a Christian in the room today, then number one, you're a sinner washed by the blood from the cross. And then number two, you have a supernatural advocate forever. You'll never lose it. There's so many preachers and so many doctrines out there that tell you that, oh yes, get saved, get baptized, but you better not mess up. Because when you do, he's going to leave you. And then you got to hit the water again. Or you got to get saved again. It don't work like that, guys. It's right here in Scripture. It says that, and this is the man saying it himself, okay? This is Jesus Christ. The words are written in red. He says, I will be with you forever, for all eternity. Never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. So if you're a Christian this morning, find your comfort and find your hope in your supernatural helper.
Amen.
Our second spiritual blessing or supernatural blessing this morning, as we'll see, coming in verses 18 and 19. In 18 and 19, we see that I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In verse 19, it says, after a little while, the world will no longer see me. Christ talking about himself. But you will see me because what? I live and you will live also. We'll talk about a union here in a minute. But here we see a supernatural life that we get. So you find your comfort this morning that you are supernatural. If you're a Christian in this room, you are a supernatural being. You are a child of God, a supernatural child. You're no longer this worldly flesh. Yeah, it's our covering. But inside, the indwelling, because of Christ, because we've hidden our heart with him, now we have a supernatural life. Our life is now supposed to reflect what Jesus' life was. This obviously it brings me back to verse 15. You know, our supernatural life, we as Christians, when we take the oath of Christ, when we take the oath of the cross and we're washed by the blood, no longer do I live for myself. See, if you're a true Christian in the room, if you're a true changed being, a true changed supernatural life, your purpose for your life is to live a life that reflects Jesus's.
Amen.
You see, he took the cross for you. He took the cross for me. Why would I accept him and lead a life any different than the way he lived? The Bible talks about taking up your cross daily. Jesus Christ took up his once for us. Now we get to take up Jesus's every day because he's not here in the flesh, but he lives through us, through our supernatural life now. Find comfort in that this morning, church, that we can live a life that's supernatural because we have Christ living in us. If you look at verse 15 here in John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus speaking here of a habitual obedience. A habitual obedience. It is a habit, or should be, for us as Christians to live a life that loves Jesus and keeps his commandments. Meaning, everything that we do in our life should reflect him. Whether it's going to our workplace, whether it's leading our Sunday school group, whether it's at a ball game or whatever, our life should reflect his.
Amen.
We should be living a life that is showing the community, the world, Jesus. You should find comfort in that. I think that's really cool. I think it's really cool that we get a chance to do that. We get a chance as Christians to show others Jesus. A man that lived 2,000 plus years ago, now he lives through us. And for some people, it's mind-boggling. For some people, we talked about it this morning in Sunday school, there are scientists, guys, that will go to work in the morning, and their whole daily work status, their whole workflow, their job is to disprove certain books of the Bible through science. But what's interesting is that science is disproving the scientist. There's so much out there that they're trying to change and rearrange in this book, and it's beginning to take us away from the actual meaning here because there's so many scientists out there trying to disprove it. So we have the opportunity to live a life that reflects Christ. If you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, we'll see this. It states that we're hidden with Christ, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Our comfort today, church, is that we are in Christ and that you are eternally secured with Him. We are secured with Christ. There are many pastors around the world that teach and preach that when you get saved and you take on the blood of Jesus and you go under the water and you come out and you go mess up, I just want to get that preacher behind closed doors and say, listen, man, we're all human beings. You're all going to mess up. You're going to sin today, some point. You're going to sin tomorrow at some point. But because of the cross, because of Jesus Christ, we can seek comfort knowing that we have a supernatural life and that we are eternally secured with Him no matter our mistakes, no matter how broken we are, right? Our third blessing, supernatural blessing this morning, is my favorite. And it is the supernatural union. I love the illustration of a union. And when I was putting this sermon together and kind of typing my PowerPoint up, I began earlier this week and, you know, kind of outlining everything. And then I always type up my PowerPoint on Saturday afternoons. Yesterday, a different scenario, about midnight last night, putting everything together on PowerPoint. And I get to the third, and I had been studying about it, but I get to the third point here, the supernatural union. God just stopped me. And I thought, wow, all the plumbing that you did today and the use of a union, now I get to see it in Scripture. And so if you're not familiar with PVC pipe or CPVC pipe, they make this fitting called a union. And you basically tie in this pipe to this pipe with that fitting, a union. Because of the cross, now we are in part of a supernatural union. Amen. With Christ. But what does it take for the union to be successful? Plumbers in the room, two pieces of pipe. You see, the fitting, the union itself is not doing anything without the two pieces of pipe going in it. You see, this side of the pipe is perfect and spotless. And we see that going into that one part of that union. But if you just put it in the wall or put it under the cabinet with nothing else on this side, then the fitting is not doing its job. So translate that into Scripture and supernatural union. It takes two to tango. It takes two pipes, two parts to make that union be so successful. What's that mean? It means Jesus Christ makes up one side of the union. Where are you at in the picture? Where are you at? Are you glued in with it? Are you waiting to be placed in the union? Or have you not got there yet? I say it takes two to tango. I like Dancing with the Stars. But it's always funny when I get out there on the rug and try to dance in front of my kids and do the tango. And you do it by yourself, it always kind of makes you look idiotic, right? It's funny. Rudy's, yeah, I could see that, you know. But it's so much more, I'm not going to dance, but it's so much more fluent, though, on stage when you have a partner to dance with you. Christ is the partner that we need to dance with us. But get this, he also needs you to dance with him. Amen. In order to make that union successful. He needs you to dance with him because it takes two parts. It takes two parts. Also in the text, we see the factor in order to make the union work, it must be a habitual action. You see, we can't love Christ on Sunday and expect this supernatural union to work out, Ms. Pat, right? We can't love Christ on Monday and then forget about him Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, pick him up a little bit Friday, a little bit Saturday, and then pick him back up full steam on Sunday and expect this union to work out. Guess what? You're going to have a leak. You're going to have a leak. That fitting is going to begin to leak, and it's going to be a slow fade. And suddenly you find yourself loving Christ on Sunday and totally forgetting about him on Monday. And then on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday. And the next thing you know, you're out of church. You're not here on Sunday. Amen. You're not here on Wednesday. And then you get to a point where you get comfortable sitting on your couch and not ever opening your Bible to experience Christ. There's so many people in our community, y'all, that are the missing link in the union. If we could go out there and share and say, it takes two. Many people think that it's true. Christ can do anything he wants to, but we have to meet him halfway. We have to meet him halfway in order to make this thing work. And I love this because it shows us that when we do accept Christ, when we do take on the blood of the cross, when it does wash our hearts, we are a part and join in into this supernatural union. In verse 20, in John chapter 14, verse 20, Jesus explains this so vividly. He says that in that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He explains it. He breaks it down real easy for the disciples. Disciples that are in a world of turmoil, here's their comfort. No matter what you go through, no matter what situation you find yourself in life, no matter what the scenario or the circumstances, if you trust me, you'll be part of this supernatural union. The next one, we see that Jesus is a supernatural teacher. We see that this parakletos here, this advocate, the Greek word for helper, comes in and describes the helper, not just as a helper, but as a teacher. We find our way back to that word, the supernatural teacher. He energizes, the Holy Spirit here energizes us. The supernatural teacher energizes us to go out and energizes the hearts of us, energizes the minds of us. We see it in Scripture because when the Spirit come upon the disciples in the book of Acts, from that point on, they begin to pen the New Testament. You see, they begin energized. And they became, their minds and hearts became on fire and became enthroned because of Christ, His Holy Spirit, allowed them to begin to start seeing things differently. These are mere words on a page. If you are in this church today and you have not been saved, they're mere words. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, once you take it on, they literally jump off the page. They literally come off the page and you start to apply them to different parts of your life. The Holy Spirit is what draws the man to Christ. The Holy Spirit is what energizes that calloused heart. Is the shocking device of the heart. Is the supernatural AED, right? It puts the pads on them and shocks them back into life. And the illustration that I think about when this happens to a heart that is rusty and cold and calloused is that the sheer force from the supernatural AED that's put on them, And when the shock hits, the calluses start to fade and start to flake off. And we start to see a heart and a believer that is energized. You see, there's a lot of believers out there. There's a lot of believers out there that their heart is beginning to clam up and to callus up because they've not been energized by the Holy Spirit in a long time. The reason for that is they've never allowed themselves to be. So if you're sitting in the room and you're listening and you've got you may have distractions on your mind, I ask that you leave those at the door of the church. If we ever want to get energized, we come in here and we worship Christ authentically. We come in here and we worship Christ like it is the last thing that we have to do. Forget about the distractions. Forget about your life over the hour of worship or when you're here on Sunday nights or Wednesdays. You really want to see you start to grow. If you really want to see a change in your life, come to the altar, come to the pulpit, come to the church willing to be taught. Amen. Willing to be revived. Because that's the way the Holy Spirit is going to enter in and energize you if you allow Him to do that. If you allow Him that opportunity to energize you. Also, the Holy Spirit says that not only is He an energizing force, but He is the energizing words for us. When we don't have anything to say, the Holy Spirit intercedes and steps in and takes our tongue and takes our lips and allows us the remembrance of all these things that we were taught through Vacation Bible School, through growing up in youth, through listening to sermons over and over and over, studying the small groups, the devotionals. When it's time for you to step on the stage and to get in front of somebody, to speak to them, to talk to them, and you can't remember anything, the flesh begins to fade away and you start to forget, then the Holy Spirit energizes that mouth and that tongue and begins to bring things back to you. And then when it's over with, you wonder what you said. Oh gosh, I hope I didn't offend them. Then you forget because it wasn't you talking. When you get into that moment and it really takes over, I promise you when it's over and said and done, you'll think, what in the world did I say? I don't remember anything. Because that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit stepping in and bringing back remembrance. And finally, this morning, the icing on the cake for the supernatural blessings. All those four things we see in verses 27 through 31 in John chapter 14. Because we know all these things, all these supernatural blessings, because we've seen the first through four. John chapter 14, verses 27 through 31. It says, read this with me. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You have heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let's go from here. In verses 27 through 31, now knowing the four previous things, the four previous blessings that we talked about, the fifth point is my favorite. Because no matter what turmoil, no matter what judgment you may face daily, no matter how broke you are, receive your comfort in knowing that you have a supernatural peace. A supernatural peace. A peace that extends beyond any of our wildest dreams, any of our wildest imaginations. We can live a life with this fifth point here, a supernatural peace. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul writes, he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because of the union that you have with Christ, because of the Parakletos, the advocate, the helper, all those things come together to form my favorite point. no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how busy you are, no matter what you've got waiting on you tomorrow at work, no matter what you got waiting on you this afternoon, comfort in knowing today is that you have a supernatural peace, a peace that surpasses all comprehension, according to Paul, a peace that can overcome any doubt, any despair, any fear, any tribulation. Comfort to know that you have a supernatural peace. So this morning, if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian in here this morning, rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice. Don't get down on yourself for being broke. There's hundreds of people in the Bible that were broken. They went on to do extraordinary things. God uses the broken. God uses people like us. People like us, New Harmony Baptist Church, to heal a broken world.
Amen.
If we're willing. If we think about all these supernatural things, if we understand that we have a supernatural comfort, the greatest joy, the greatest blessing ever known to a saved man is to know that when this life is over, it doesn't end. Because I am walking a supernatural life. Because I was washed by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Have you been? Have you honestly been changed by Christ? You honestly say this morning, can you honestly say this morning that you have a supernatural peace?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for this morning, Lord. God, as we enter into a time now of invitation, God, in song, Lord, I pray for the congregation, the people of this church. God, that they start to understand, Lord, that yeah, we may be broken. Lord, we may be going through turmoil. We may be going through troubles and trials and tribulations, Lord. But because of you and because of the cross and because of the blood that you shed, now we are changed and we have that supernatural peace and that supernatural comfort, Lord, and a helper, your Holy Spirit. So God, now I pray that you'll fill this altar, Lord. If there's people here, Lord, that need to experience you this morning, God, that they'll come down, Lord, and they'll take Chad by the hand, Lord, and they'll seek refuge in this place, in this church, and in this altar right now. And most importantly in all, God, they'll seek refuge in your Son, Jesus. Amen.